Has the world gone crazy? Life is difficult. When you need help, where do you turn? Welcome to Christian Impact, impacting your life with spiritual truth. I am Dr. Kelly Blanton, and I'm sharing practical truths in the Bible that can truly change your life. Today is April 24th, 2024. We continue our Kingdom Legacy series, and we are in Genesis chapters 22, 23, and 24. Today, primarily in the text of Genesis chapter 22. And with that, let's begin reading the text, Genesis 22. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. Then he said, Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, The Lord will provide. And it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing, and not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Now it came to pass after these things that it was told Abraham, saying, Indeed, Milcah has borne children to your brother Nahor. Huz, his firstborn, Buz, his brother, Kemuel, the father of Aram, Chesed, Hazol, Pildash, Jidlaf, and Bethuel. And Bethuel begot Rebekah. These eight Milcah bore to Nahor, Abraham's brother. His concubine, whose name was Rimuah, also bore Teba, Gaham, Thehash, and Makkah. Okay, so let's get started. Verse 1 begins with, Now it came to pass. And we've seen that often in our studies in Genesis. We're talking about there's been a period of time that has passed from the previous reading, from the previous point. And I always like to bring this up, because sometimes we like to break these stories and think of it, well, this is like a totally different dispensation. And no, it's just some time has passed by. There's been stuff, life has happened, stuff has happened, but nothing that has been worth mentioning up until this point. So now some time has passed, and suddenly Abraham is in this position, and God speaks to him, and he says, Abraham, and Abraham replies, here I am. And I just want to immediately point out, this reminds me of the story over in 1 Samuel, when Samuel was a young boy dedicated to the Lord, and the Lord spoke to him as a boy, and he thought it was Eli, the high priest, calling him. So he'd get up in the night and go and wake up Eli and say, you've been calling me. And Eli says, I didn't call you, go back to bed. And it happens again. And finally, Eli realizes that it's the Lord speaking to Samuel. And so he tells Samuel, next time you hear him call your name, say, here I am. So here, I know this takes place before that story, but it's interesting because Abraham has learned to respond to God when God speaks with, here I am. And I say this because this Abraham in Genesis 22 is not the same Abraham we see in Genesis 12, Genesis 13, Genesis 14. This is not the same Abraham. Not just because his name went from Abram to Abraham, but that man heard God, went down to the promised land, and then immediately went to Egypt because there was a famine and thought, well, something must be wrong. I'll go to Egypt for my food. He was not necessarily the man of faith, but he has learned to walk with God. And here we are years later. Remember, he was 70 when he entered the promised land. Now at this point, I mean, he was 99 when they got pregnant with Isaac. Now Isaac is a young boy. So we're talking, he's 110. You know, he's approaching the age where he's getting ready to pass. So he's not only older, but he's learned to walk with God. And so he says, here I am. And the Lord tells him, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him as a burnt offering on the mountains, of which I shall tell you. There's a lot of things packed in here. We get really caught up with the offer him up as a burnt offering because it's such a shock to us. Like, what? What? But let's back up. Notice that God says, take your son, your only son, Isaac. This is a real eye-opener to understand here. I've had some atheists try to say, see, this is a contradiction. This is some error in the Bible. Ishmael was also a son of Abraham, so this isn't a correct statement. It is correct. Isaac was the only son of Abraham and Sarah. Ishmael was from Hagar. Isaac is Abraham's only son from his wife. And if you remember, it was his wife that wanted him to have a child with Hagar. That was not Abraham's plan or idea. He did it to satisfy his wife. And of course, that created problems. That was his wife trying to make the promise happen. And Abraham, not being a leader in his house and just giving in to the works of his wife just for appeasement in the home. And of course, it brought trouble. But this is his only son between him and his wife. And this is the only son of which technically the promise of God in the calling that God has given him that his descendants would be like the stars in the sky or the sand on the seashore. Isaac is the only one that is in fulfillment of that promise. And so it's real important. Also, we see here that God's talking about how much Abraham loves Isaac, because Isaac, all of his hopes and God's promises rest in his son. And now God tells him, go to the land of Moriah and offer him up as a burnt offering. Most of us could not handle this. We'd be like, there's no way I'm killing my child. There's no way. But Abraham says he rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went. And by the way, we see in verse 4, it says, and on the third day, he sees the place from afar off. So in other words, not only did he immediately obey God in this, but the journey took him 3 days. So he undoubtedly, the rest of the day was spent preparing to take a 3-day journey. It's not like they just hopped in a car and they drove. They're walking. Yeah, they're taking a donkey, but it's carrying stuff. So they got to prepare their meals and everything that they need to survive for 3 days. He does that and gets up the very next morning after he's prepared himself, and he goes on a 3-day trip. And he does it immediately. There's no debating. He's not like, God, let's think about this. He's not going and asking people for counsel and advice. What do you think I should do this? He heard God, he knows his God, and he just obeys. And this is why he's considered the father of faith, because he believed in God's promise, even though what he's being told now seems to contradict that. He believes God is going to fulfill his promises. And so he goes, and he takes 2 young men with him. When they get there, he tells the 2 young men to wait. He shall return. Now, there's some interesting notice that when they go to Moriah, they take a donkey. You know, Jesus rode in to Jerusalem on a donkey. Mount Moriah is on the same set of mountains from which the crucifixion happens. It's also on the same set of mountains that Jerusalem sits and the temple sits. It's the same place. It's the same place, okay? And so they're walking in the same place with a donkey going into as Jesus when he went in. And they get there, and I specifically like this because he tells them that we will come back to you. When Jesus rose from the dead and he walked with his disciples, you know, he walked with his disciples at the resurrection for 40 days. More than 500 people saw him. And he ascended into heaven. He ascended into the clouds. And what did he tell his disciples? What was the angels tell his disciples? He'll come back the same way he left. And so here's Abraham telling the 2 servants, well, we'll be back. Me and my son will be back. When Jesus left us, he said he will be back. So I find that rather interesting here. And then it says he takes the wood and he lays it on Isaac to carry up. You know, Jesus had to bear the wood of the cross and take it out to be crucified on it. So here Isaac is bearing the same wood for his sacrifice as Jesus bared his own wood for his crucifixion. And as they're going, Isaac says, you know, Dad. And he's like, yes, son. This is my paraphrase. And he goes, we have fire, we have wood. Where's the lamb? See, Isaac knows there's something up. And Abraham, he doesn't say, son, you're the lamb. You're the sacrifice. Notice that he tells Isaac, my son, God will provide for himself. You get into the Hebrew and the stuff, and you realize that it doesn't say for himself. It literally says, my God, God will provide himself. See, the for is something we put in there in English to help it sound better. Because a lot of times you start getting in the foreign language translation and things. A lot of those little prepositions don't always translate from language to language, especially when you're going into something like Hebrew and some of these older languages that don't necessarily have the same type of article usage or whatever. And so here it's just, you know, God will provide himself. And in English, we better understand, well, God provide for himself. But literally, Abraham was saying, no, God will provide himself. He's in a way prophesying without knowing he's prophesying. God will provide himself the lamb. And you see, and that's why we want to say, well, for him. That's correct grammar, for him, the lamb. But God himself is the lamb. Jesus is the lamb. The 2 of them go up to the place. Abraham builds the altar, puts Isaac on it. He stretches out his hand, takes the knife to slay his son. And then it says, the angel of the Lord called from heaven. The angel of the Lord, this is the pre-incarnate Jesus. This is Jesus now calling out, saying, Abraham, Abraham. It's not the Father, this is Jesus. And Abraham responds, here I am. Now, we always see these pictures that people draw or paint of Abraham holding the knife above Isaac and slashing it down. But when you understand how a sacrifice to a burnt offering goes, they don't stab the lamb. They don't stab the cow when they do a sacrifice. They slit the throat. So when it says Abraham stretched out his hand, it wasn't above him like he was going to plunge it. He put the knife to his throat to slice. And Isaac in all this part is complicit. He doesn't fight. He willingly goes on the altar. Now, God is not into human sacrifice. He's never condoned it. The law, which happens later on with Moses, there is no law at this point because Moses and the law is still about 1,000 years away at this point. And human sacrifice is condemned. So God never intended for Abraham to sacrifice his son. So what was this about? Listen, something that I have learned, and we don't always do a good job teaching this in churches, but to become a Christian, and you've probably heard the statement, Lord, you know, I give you my life. Come into my life. You know, these sort of words we use in prayers to lead someone to the Lord. And we say the words that not really matter, but it's the intent of your heart. But the idea of salvation is that Jesus Christ died on the cross, and that was your death. And when you come to him and you ask for forgiveness, your life that you lived is now on the cross. He's paying your price. And now the life that you live isn't your life anymore. It's his life. Your life was nailed to the cross with him. And now his life, which was innocent and should live on, is now in you. His resurrected life is now in you. But your old life, your old self, this old identity, is it died on the cross. And I know we can say, yes, I get that. But oftentimes we go through life and we continue to carry our hopes, our dreams, our desires from that old life with us. And I can specifically say, for those who feel like you're called into ministry, this almost sounds like a dirty trick, but it's not. You get called into ministry and God will usually show you something really great that he's calling you to do. And you see this vision and you jump up and you want to go do it. And then the truth of the matter is that you have to kill it. That vision has to die. Your hopes and dreams of what he's called you to has got to die. And the reason is because if you don't, then you will try to do what God has called you to do in your own strength. In other words, what you're going to do is you're going to take what God has called you to do and you're going to become Cain and offer God your own work. And it's not acceptable. See, God has to call you and you die to those desires. You die to your dreams. You die to your visions. You die to your plans. And you say, whatever you want, God, is your life in me. This is your life living in me, God, so whatever you want. And when you do that, God fulfills the thing that he's called you to do because he now does it through you. He does the work. What he does, he glorifies, he blesses, he does the miraculous. He does much more and better than what you could ever do. And all of us have got to come to this place where we lay down those desires. And the reason some of you are even listening to me now and are like, your flesh is battling this, is because of doubt. You doubt that God was actually going to do something better than what you can do. Now you say, no, that's not true. But it is. Your flesh is fighting because you don't want to let it go because you just don't trust God. We just don't trust God. When I look back in my life, I can remember very vividly doing the youth ministry in a town I didn't want to do it in, in a place I didn't want to do it in, and doing things I just, you know, I said, yes, fine, God, I'll do this, but I didn't want to be there. I was looking to get out, and it was me, fight. No matter how hard I tried, I couldn't get out of this place. And I can remember finally I got to this point where I just said, you know, I'm complaining to God. It's not what you've called me for. I didn't say yes to this. And God spoke to me. And God told me, or he asked me, if this is all I've made and called you to do, am I good enough for you? Here's God asking me, is he good enough for me? Can I just be satisfied with him, with this little insignificant thing he's called me to? And it broke me. I couldn't answer immediately because I didn't want to, and I was mad at him, and I struggled in my flesh. But I eventually told God, yes, God, you are worth everything. If it means I'll be insignificant the rest of my life, but I have you, you are good enough. And I died to all those dreams and everything. And I basically shut down everything I was going to do with the youth ministry and let it die. 6 months later, God moved with power in my ministry. He brought revival to that youth ministry, set me on a totally different trajectory. The gifts, the power of God began moving like I've never had before. And when I first got saved and I started a college ministry, God was doing incredible, powerful things. But you see, I had allowed myself to get involved in that calling to where I was going to do that work. And I had to come to this point of just dying to myself and realizing, I know it sounds terrible, you're going to die to your dreams, but listen, God's got bigger dreams for you than you can dream. God has got better things for you than you have for yourself. And when we lay those things down and we think we're killing them, God has a way of suddenly springing to life and telling you, whoa. You see, it's not a test so God can know. It's a test so that you and I can go somewhere in our growth and our maturity with him, that suddenly his promises can come manifest in our life because we've gotten our flesh out of the way. And this is what's happened here. Of course, Abraham immediately looks up and there's a ram. No, not a lamb. The Lamb of God, Jesus, has not yet come yet. But God provided right there a lamb so he could instantly perform the sacrifice that is suddenly required of him. And he calls the place the Lord will provide. And a lot of King James English, Jehovah Jireh. This is where Jehovah Jireh comes from. Jehovah Jireh means the Lord will provide. And then it says the angel of the Lord, this is Jesus, calls again a second time, because you haven't withheld your only son. And he reaffirms the call that Abraham has now received. This is the third time that Abraham is called. You're going to be a blessing. I'm going to multiply your descendants. This is the third time this happens. So, you know, sometimes God has to do things to get us out of our own way. And when you do this, God can move in power and might in your life. And then right after it does this, it sort of kind of ends the chapter with this really weird thing about Milcah, the wife of his brother Nahor, which didn't come with them. They stayed back in Haran. Now they're not still in Haran because we see later on when Abraham sends his servant Eliezer to find a bride for Isaac, that they're no longer in Haran, but they're still sort of kind of there up there in this area. But Nahor hasn't really, he's moved around a little bit, but he's still in the land of paganism. And his wife has had children, 8 to be exact. And one of those 8 has had a daughter named Rebecca. And of course, Rebecca in chapter 24 becomes the bride for Isaac, because Abraham sends Eliezer. And I don't have time to do that. I had to really debate which chapter I wanted to go over, and I wanted to go over this one. But he sends Eliezer, and Eliezer, by the way, the name Eliezer means comforter. So Abraham the father sends Eliezer the comforter to a faraway land to fetch a bride for the son. I hope you understand. I hope you can see the symbolism that's there. Obviously, this one here in this chapter, Isaac represents Jesus. Abraham represents the father and how the father sacrifices his son for you and I. You know, now, Abraham didn't have to sacrifice Isaac because that's not what God does. But it was a picture that God, our Father, will sacrifice his son, Jesus, the Lamb of God, for our sins. It also speaks to us about laying down those desires and plans we have. But in chapter 24, when Eliezer goes to this far-off country to find the bride, and of course he takes gifts, he gives gifts to Rebekah, and he asks her to go away with him to receive the son. So she says yes. She says yes to her marriage to a son she's never met personally, all through the words of a comforter named Eliezer. And Eliezer brings her to Isaac. And so the next time we see Isaac, who we're seeing here at the end of chapter 20, the next time we see him, he meets Rebecca at a well, and the well is called the Well of Living Water. That's powerful for us. And so with that today, I hope this is encouraging to you. I know I've been talking about these Genesis messages about identity. And so let me summarize this for you first with this identity thing, because I want to speak to those of you out there that are struggling with God. God's called you. You've heard God call, and yet things haven't gone the way you think they should go. Listen, we've got to lay down our desires and our dreams. And I know that's hard to do, but God will provide. God will provide. I've counseled many, many people, young and old, especially those that they want a spouse. A guy's looking for that right woman, or women looking for the right guy. Listen, you have to die to your desire to have a mate. Follow God. He will provide. I'm telling you, in due time, if you die to those desires and you just focus on walking and obeying with God, when you least expect it, you will look up and God will provide the person you need. They will be there. The same is true with whether it's our jobs, whether we need provision, whether it's our purpose and calling. We need purpose and calling in life. No, people without purpose and calling die because you don't have hope, and depression sets in and you just quit living. When we lay all that stuff down, God gives you. He provides those things that you need. And you know what? It's much better than anything we could have done ourselves. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you are the Lord who provides. God, I pray, God, that you will help us, God, to lay down, God, our desires, God, and that we would dream your dreams, that we'd pick up your life, God, and that you will accomplish those things that you've called us to do through your power, God, through your might. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for listening to today's podcast, today's teaching. You can check out others at our website at www.christianimpact.net. And until next time, God bless.